over the past couple of weeks, our cinema screens have been home to movies such as Wonder Woman, The Mummy, Transformers, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Despicable Me 3. It seems that each of these titles holds a sense of familiarity. Why is this? Because they are all belong to one of the many movie franchises of today. From sequel to prequel to now 13 Marvel movies, these franchises have become the norm, as well as we all hold out for the next movie in our favourite series. But why are they so popular, and will we ever see an end? Joining us on the line is Colin Yeo, PhD candidate in English and Cultural Studies at the University of Western Australia. Good afternoon, Colin.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Now, why are film studios moving towards franchises rather than just single films?
I think one of the reasons is, from an economic perspective, building a franchise tends to mitigate risk through diversification. So instead of, you know, dealing with the associated risks of one movie, you sort of spread it out over the course of several productions, and that sort of works. Because ultimately, if we think about the contemporary Hollywood industry, it is ultimately an expensive and very risky enterprise. This sort of works to a certain extent because, you know, what happens if film one in your series is unsuccessful? DC Superman films, for example, they made lots of money, but they were sort of, it came in lower on the critical, on critic scales, meaning that there is still a risk of a film being a commercial flop. But ultimately, as these, you know, as the DC films are a testament to, even films with relatively low critical scores can actually be financial successes. And, you know, I've just read that the latest Wonder Woman film, for example, has actually brought in $700 million internationally, and now that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. Well, going back to that, like you said, Superman, that first film, which I thought it was quite horrible, but a lot of people thought the same. Isn't that a risk, you know, in itself? Then if you think, oh, if we're going to do a second and a third, then what if they all flop? We're in trouble.
Yeah, and I think this is the interesting thing with the DC Cinematic Universe. I think they've looked at the way Marvel have sort of Marvel approach to universe building and said, oh, you know, we can try and do the same thing. But it's not just the first two Superman films and then Suicide Squad that actually have had relatively lukewarm, shall I say, ratings. But they're still huge commercial successes, ultimately. And, you know, I guess Wonder Woman has kind of redeemed the DC franchise somewhat with its, I would say, quite stellar critical reception.
Yeah. Why do you think the cinematic universe has such a, you know, it draws in such a big following?
I think that one of the key factors that underpins this is nostalgia. And to quote the anthropologist Bruno Latour, who says, "We have never been modern." We see a lot of these franchises, Transformers, superheroes, and, you know, King Kong and Godzilla, for example, and The Mummy. These are all film franchises that have actually been done before. They've come out in some shape or form in the early 20th, 21st, and even, you know, way back to the 1930s and 1950s. So I suppose what it is tapping into audiences' sense of familiarity that's tinged with perhaps something new. You know, for example, up-and-coming directors or stars. Tom Hiddleston, for example, everyone loves Tom Hiddleston. I love Tom Hiddleston. He's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in King Kong. So they're sort of tapping into this up-and-coming star power as well to sell tickets.
Yeah, and what about the idea of crossing over, you know, say DC and Marvel doing some sort of crossover?
Ooh. That's actually quite interesting. I haven't actually considered a sort of DC Marvel crossover, but the way it is, it's sort of the way it's sort of played up in the media, that it's this kind of friendly rivalry between the two franchises. But I mean, ultimately, you know, movies and as we go on further along the track, I think it's inevitable that we'll have these sorts of, yeah, potentially down the track a crossover. But I think for now, studios are probably just quite intent on building up their own sort of cinematic franchises. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Doing what it is they have.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. because they are going so well. What other factors are affecting the success of these franchises, would you say?
Well, there's obviously, you know, nostalgia, as I've mentioned before.
Oh, yeah.
But also, you know, it's a huge commercial machine. You know, the trailers themselves have become this sort of meta cinematic thing where on social media you have this, studios tend to generate buzz around not the film, but the trailer to the film itself. So that's how studios sort of build up hype. And also merchandising. For example, you know, you walk into a Target or Kmart and you can see Lego sets from upcoming superhero films. And they're already sort of peppered and sort of released in shops. And at some point, it does make one tend to feel quite cynical because, you know, it's trailers and toys give audiences an idea of what it is they can look forward to in a movie. But also, they run the risk of spoiling plots and perhaps, you know, cheapening the experience of watching a film somewhat, I suppose.
Yeah, that's so, it's very true. You mentioned it briefly there, the commercial build-up of these films. I mean, it seems to just be such a big thing now to have huge advertising before these film comes out, but long before the film comes out. It's like you'll see some of these films and they'll have a little thing at the end, like after all the credits, sort of almost like a trailer for the next film. It's quite a big thing, right?
Yeah, the post-credit scene. I actually haven't seen the Guardians of the Galaxy film, but apparently it's got 5 post-credit scenes. So I don't know. I have quite mixed feelings about that. I think it's great that that the movies sort of lay breadcrumbs to sort of build up some sort of anticipation. But when it becomes that sort of, you know, expectation, it sort of runs the risk of being really repetitive. That you have to actually sit through something, and in some ways, almost a little bit patronizing to the audience.
Yeah, true. Now, what film franchises can we see coming up, and do you think they will ever sort of end? Will we just go back to seeing single films?
Well, there's the Marvel and DC franchise. They've obviously planned heaps of films. I believe that they've recently planned a sequel to Wonder Woman. But in addition to the superheroes franchises, we've got the monsters. So with the Mummy, Universal Dark Universe, Legendary Pictures is also starting to build up their own little cinematic universe with Godzilla and King Kong. I think the second Godzilla sequel that's coming out in 2018 or 2019 is going to feature Godzilla going toe to toe with a few other monsters. So, and even the Transformers franchise, you know, even before The Last Knight premiered a couple of weeks ago, the rumor is that they've already planned a Bumblebee spin-off. So it's almost like a staple of major production studios that to keep up with everyone else, because everyone's making so much money from it that it's almost compulsory to have that sort of cinematic universe or tentpole franchise, so to speak, as part of a slate of new releases.
Yeah, I agree. It's all about the money.
Colin, money, yeah.
We'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.